Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Stacy Lynn. Another round of snow for a big chunk of the country. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy.
That snow could melt into slush or turn to ice, which will make for a dangerous Friday night commute throughout the Garden State.
And with the snow, more record cold. Gerald Kiner has opened an emergency shelter in Memphis.
I'm cold right now. Basically, when I would step outside for a few minutes to go to my car. So imagine people who have no place to go.
While the federal government's on a two-hour delay today because of the snow in the Washington, D.C. area, a deal was made to keep it open until March. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
This happened on September 30th. It happened again in November, and it's happening again now. They just passed short-term deals to extend the time frame in which they can negotiate how much to spend on government in 2024.
Off to New Hampshire, where campaigning's in full swing ahead of Tuesday's primary. Our Caitlin Huey Burns is there.
Donald Trump is very confident in his chances here, and his campaign really just wants a huge win here to be able to kind of coalesce the party around him and move on and lock this nomination up.
Some good news if you're struggling to pay back your student loans. The Biden administration is canceling $5 billion in debt for 74,000 borrowers. Many of them are teachers, nurses, and firefighters. After the war between Israel and Hamas ends, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says through an interpreter that Israel intends to keep control of all territory west of the Jordan River.
This is a necessary condition, and it clashes with the idea of Palestinian sovereignty. I tell this truth to our American friends.
An American Airlines flight attendant is facing charges for allegedly videoing minors in a bathroom. WBZ Radio's Nicole Davis.
The Justice Department says Estes Thompson allegedly recorded five young girls between January and September of 2023, some girls as young as seven. This all came to light on a September 2nd flight from Charlotte to Boston. Court documents show Thompson told a 14-year-old girl instead of waiting, she could use the first-class bathroom instead. Inside, that's where the girl found a cell phone taped on a toilet seat. After her parents reported it, the investigation began.
Well, college was fun. I would have liked to have stayed longer and partied more, minus the schoolwork, and not have to be an adult. But alas, I had to. Not Miami tight end Cam McCormick, though, who says he's coming back for a ninth season of college football.
Middle with a goal for the touchdown to McCormick.
He spent the first seven at Oregon, transferred to Miami for the 2023 season. He'll keep playing there in 2024. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits West Bend on Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House on Thursday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. One in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office for Children's Mental Health. She says teens are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says that the good news is that more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin battles the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the 11th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers host the Indiana Hoosiers at the Kohl Center. Wisconsin remains at the top of the Big Ten with a record of 13-4, 5-1 in the conference. After losing to Penn State, head coach Greg Gard.
We've grown a lot. We took on the schedule we did because we had an experienced team that we felt not only could handle it, but needed to be challenged.
NFL, it's the Packers and the 49ers. Saturday night in the divisional playoffs, Packers quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, it's a great challenge for us. They're a really good defense. They got a really good offense as well, so they're a great team all around.
The 49ers' Nick Bosa comparing Jordan Love to Aaron Rodgers.
I'm a quarterback who does exactly what he's coached to do, which Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and unbelievable, but he kind of went outside of the realm of coaching, and sometimes it's good when you have a guy who does what he's coached to do.
That's 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy with a few off and on flurries through the day. We may see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. It's going to be cold too with a high of 7 above the wind chill. Single digits to teens below zero most of the day. Tonight, clear 7 below. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 10. We are going to warm it up. We're talking 30s for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
I have really got to be more mindful that when I'm on a road trip, I tell Don that I need a new intro, because we're not live from Lake Wasota. We're live from Waukesha, Wisconsin, the studios of the Shaw WAUK, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're watching live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you're seeing Greg Bach, who's in the very next room. That's as close as we're allowed to get. The protective order only extends as far as this pane of glass over here.
They won't keep us apart, Pat. They won't.
And Brittany Merlot, who we're separated by more than a pane of glass, but she's still right here on our screen and in our hearts and in our ears. Brittany, good morning. Oh, do you need to bring up Brittany? Because I can't hear her.
Sorry about that. Okay, okay, there we go.
Hi, Brittany.
Oh, I was muted. Nobody wants to hear about the weather.
Yeah, no, we do, because we want to know when we're getting rid of this cold. It is, it's below zero in many parts, especially of, up north. Out by you, you're in the Wausau area there. You're hanging out close to zero right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm actually, I think, -1 at the moment. So
no, don't be down on yourself like that. You turn that around. You are a +1 if ever there was. So.
Thank you.
All right. So they were talking earlier about probably a little more snow than we actually ended up getting down here in Waukesha places. We kind of got the, I would call it a benevolent dusting maybe, but maybe some places got a little bit more.
Yeah. So it looks like off in towards more the western part of the state. I think DeSoto is coming in with a report of just 1 inch, right? And then into northern Illinois, they're putting in reports of 2 inches. So anywhere from a trace to 2 inches fell throughout southern Wisconsin. It really pushed south. It went away from us. It hit Iowa much harder and then into northern Illinois. So we lucked out there. We needed the break. We're still battling those wind chills. An advisory still in effect for La Crosse, Dells, Madison, Richland Center. You're going to see wind chill values feeling as low as 25 below this morning, because those winds still cranking up to about 20 miles per hour out of the northwest. So this could bring a few flurries by the lake shore as well throughout the afternoon. So keep that in mind. The snow chances aren't completely over just yet. Those winds are going to be feisty off of Lake Superior as well. So Snowbelt, Ashland, Bayfield, you're going to see a couple of inches as we go through today and even into the weekend as well. Snowmobilers, if you were wanting to go up towards the UP as well, they're going to look at another 5 to 7 inches just over this weekend from the cold air. So there are positives, like you said, to some of the cold, the lake effect snow turning on.
Exactly.
Otherwise, though, this weekend, we've got high pressure, sunshine, and teens, and then we warm up next week.
We warm up nicely next week, allegedly.
Yes, we do, but we're allegedly, cracking ice
allegedly.
Storm.
It's kind of like the snow. It's allegedly, and we got the benevolent dusting. So, yes.
Allegedly.
Oh, benevolent dusting.
Oh, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. We really appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to talking to you Monday about this alleged warming.
Oh, yes. It'll be fun. It'll be a messy one.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Because you're saying rain might be part of it too, right?
Absolutely. Ice accumulations as well. So it's actually a beast of a storm. But you know what? I've got good news once again. It looks like a strong high pressure wants to build in up towards Ontario. Mm-hmm. And if it does that, it'll keep a good chunk of Wisconsin below freezing, which would mean snow and not so much of a mess. Okay. So keep your fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, doing the rain and ice thing, just at that point, bring in fire as well. Let's just get the whole apocalyptic forecast. Have a great weekend, Brittany. Thank you.
Thanks, you too.
All right, we'll see you now. Don Brown joins us now here at the studios at WAUK and the Shaw. Don has a local show here and has been a local presence for some time in this, got to say it again, this adorable little Whoville called downtown Waukesha. Don, how are you?
I am great, Pat. Thanks for having me and welcome to Guitar Town USA.
Yes.
And the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. I don't know if you are aware, but this is where you're at. Also known as the WAUK Radio Studios, but when I do my show, that's how I introduce everybody. And it's an honor to have a former fellow legislator like yourself here, if I may call you senator for life.
You may. Yeah. You may.
And
I should make Greg do that. Why don't I make Greg
do Greg,
that?
What's going on there?
Oh, well.
Sorry about that forever life Senator Craplow.
See, that's why I opened myself up. So
sure. Well, you know, Greg filled in for my producer Anya one morning, and I had Mayor Sean Riley on, and Mayor Riley and Greg are both alumni of Catholic Memorial High School. So it was a real treat having them to, you know, do the secret handshake and tell penguin jokes and share other stories. So it was an honor having them together in one room. Hey, but if it's okay, Pat, I just want to give a big shout out to Jamie Donald and her daughter Braylon, who both made the cover of this morning's Waukesha Freeman. The Donald family had a Packer snow art contest, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's a Packer snowman and a big Green Bay logo, as you can see, and a couple other entries that didn't make it into the picture. So big shout out to them. They live in our neighborhood. Braylon is my daughter's best friend. So it's great to see them get recognition for that hard work and creativity and their Packer spirit.
Look at you doing local coverage as we're on part of a statewide radio network show, which is right where I want to get into this. And it's not necessarily about tooting the horn of civic media, though. Sure. Obviously, by extension, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
But just local radio, period, yes. Because I am, despite all the political chatter, I am above all a radio rat first. That was the first thing I ever wanted to be, was somebody doing full service radio like WCCO in the Twin Cities, WTMJ, WGN, like they all were back in the day before things were like all political talk. There is still very much a role for that in every community. I had, I had a talk show in West Bend for a time.
Neat.
Had a talk show in Rice Lake. You've got one now. Tell us about the program.
You know, I really love it. And, you know, like yourself, I had a legislative past, a brief one, if you will. But that allowed me to develop some really strong relationships with people in the community, not just leaders, but everyday people that make this city and this state run. And what I also think is special about radio in Wisconsin, Pat, is, and I had this conversation with Pete Schwab when he called into the show, and there is a Wisconsin state of mind that brings us all together. And a prime example is tonight our Winter Jamboree opens up. Wisconsin's premier winter festival, believe it or not, takes place here in southeast Wisconsin, Waukesha, started by some housewives about 50 plus years ago, or maybe not 40 something. Greg would know better. He grew up here, but that it's they wanted to do something to get people to play outside again. And now it's this huge tradition. And to me, when I think up north, that Wisconsin itself is the great white
north.
That's
what I say. Yeah, we are America's up north, wherever you are in Wisconsin.
In one development for the Jamboree at tomorrow's Beer Garden, they will show the Packers game.
Of course.
Playoffs game. So I got to love that Wisconsin spirit.
That's great. And so what is each week's show like for you?
So what I try to do, Pat, is I see who's trending or who deserves some notoriety here in Waukesha. And so like tomorrow morning, about 7:30, Coach Lindsay Schultz of the Carroll University women's basketball team and her star guard, Olivia Rangel, will be coming in. And Olivia's having an amazing year. The team is. They're in a 9-game winning streak. They're cracking into the top 25 nationally. I believe they're tied for first, or they're in second place in the CCIW. One of the great, along with the WIAC, you know, two of the greatest Division III conferences right here in our own state, pretty much. And that's a great story that doesn't get told enough. And also with this, to me, Mayor Sean Riley once said he hates when people call Waukesha another suburb, because it's its own unique city with a lot of history, and we're the home of the state's oldest university, Carroll. And so I like to think of us as a university city, because we benefit so much from Carroll. And we got a lot of great schools, a lot of great culture. Friday Night Live is one of the great summertime rites here. Mm-hmm. And if you ever get a chance, if you ever have another education conference in the summer, you should come check out Friday Night Live. It's very contrarian. The streets are blocked off on a Friday, which is, you know, if you're a restaurant owner, that's a big no-no, because you want to have parking. You want to have customers. But it draws so many people in of all ages, and it's just such a great atmosphere and great community spirit and live music. And
is this
so
on
much
par
fun.
with like the concerts on the square at the state capitol on?
It's very much like that, yeah.
Those Thursdays, yep. I think, or whatever those are. Okay.
So, and that event almost single-handedly revitalized our downtown. It's been going on for many years now, and it is a great thing for people. It's a great way for people to start the weekend.
Okay. Greg, did you actually find us a little history on the Waukesha Winter Jamboree?
I did. So it's actually called the Waukesha Winter Jamboree.
Oh, that's right. I thought I enunciated the N well.
And that was the thing is when I heard that, I'm like, when I was a kid, it was always called the Jamboree. I'm just sure they changed it.
Hold on. I got to give the obligatory Robert De Niro. You.
I know. Yeah.
See what you did there.
Yep.
Okay. It started.
Jamboree.
This makes me feel real old. It started in 1984 with organizers, recreation supervisor Susan Harter, one-time Mayor Carol Opel, I remember her, and one-time Alderman Nancy Hodge, trying to find some way to bring a long winter to make it seem more friendly, even summer-like.
Mm-hmm.
Older than the winter Jamboree. Awesome. That feels good.
Well, especially doing the math now, that's 40 years ago. That just can't be right.
Yeah.
And yet it is.
My junior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you so old.
You're not the only old-timer here, Greg.
No, but look at what the old timers do is they keep these little community festivals and traditions alive, especially if, and this is the important part I've now learned in my advancing age, if you can get some of that next group of young leaders, young adults to start to come on board, help with the planning, get them excited about it. Because as we've seen in other areas, if you don't involve, you know, the younger adults soon enough, it just dies off because they don't feel a connection to the community or to the event.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, Pat, because I do try to include young people, the high school students on their show, especially the ones that are doing amazing things. Like Waukesha South High School's esports team has won two straight state championships. And those are students that started the program here during COVID. Waukesha South has a mock trial team that has won two of the last three state championships, and they're on their way possibly to a third. And as well as our student athletes and Waukesha North has a great marching band tradition. And so we've had some of their band members and their coach, and there's just so much going on here among our young, and a lot of them end up coming back to Waukesha too, which is exciting.
Let me pick just the esports thing where, look, years ago, myself included, we would have kind of poo-pooed it, like, oh, come on, that's...
Don't you miss the arcade?
Yeah, you mean the arcade where we played Ms. Pac-Man.
Right next to the record store.
And again, you do that long enough and you're going to turn off an entire, you know, next group, because again, all these very serious news consumers and these serious lawmakers and everything, they started someplace as a young adult.
Yes.
You know, you never know where the next crop of young leaders for a community, for a group, wherever, where they're coming from. And some of them are part of esports. Some of them are part of band, whatever the case may be.
Sure.
And it's good to stay invested and encourage them in whatever ways are, you know, above board.
Well, and it's a great legacy about Les Pauls. He may be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know. I don't care. Until Warren Zevon gets inducted, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a joke to me. But anyway, I digress. But Les Paul is in the Inventors Hall of Fame.
Yes, that counts.
And that is a great legacy.
That counts for it. We'll talk more about Les and more about Waukesha with Don Brown from This Week in Waukesha coming up in just a moment. Wherever you're listening to Cross Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, even in Waukesha, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap.
So a little bit of Les Paul here.
Nice.
Taking us back at 7. Where's my clock? 7:20. Getting used to a new studio here at WAUK, the Shaw. This is called The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. And going through many clips from Waukesha favorite son, Les Paul, again, while this was all stuff from the black and white, you know, Halcyon days, the kinescope days of TV, you feel like you could drop Eddie Van Halen right into his era or drop him into Eddie Van Halen's era, and they would be kindred spirits immediately with the things they were able to do with what to the rest of us looks like, oh, a guitar, a box with some strings. Look what they did. And look right. look what he did to Waukesha as a result.
Yeah.
I mean, you make the comparison. Eddie Van Halen's the perfect comparison because Eddie Van Halen was also an inventor.
Yes.
The right. things he did with building guitars, pedals, sounds, he didn't just stop with buying something, pulling out of the case of the box. Like, oh, this is good. He's like, I'm going to completely rewire this with no electrical engineering training at all. Yeah. And he created these Frankenstein instruments and sounds that no one could replicate because he's like, I don't know, I just had a soldering gun. Luckily, I didn't kill myself.
Yeah. Well, and I think he almost did once or twice electrocute yeah. right. himself yeah. as, oh, yeah. you know, as he was working yeah. on these things. So obviously, when you talk about Waukesha, you talk about history in the community, you know, Les Paul's name comes up. And so I ask this, not intending it to be in a cynical way, but to make sure. This very direct. Is it a very heartfelt sentiment, that that connection between Waukesha and Les Paul, or is it a tourism gimmick?
I think it's both. You know, when I was on the council, city council, there were some council members that they're natives, like Greg, sure. and they would say, oh, yeah, he left. He never gave anything back to the community. And yet I'm friends with the people that run Guitars for Vets. That's a wonderful charity involving veterans, Army veterans and guitars. And they get a lot of support from the Les Paul Foundation. There's a Les Paul Foundation
I learned yesterday. So, he had set that up several years before his death, and it was not supposed to kick in until after he passed away. And now it's doing all of that good. So it's kind of taking that early criticism and making it sound premature.
Sure. And, you know, and also, too, Les Paul grew up at that time where artists were really taking it in the chin with taxes. They paid a lot of taxes. And so, you know, maybe he didn't have that disposable income that today's celebrities or musicians have to give back. But certainly the example that he set as an inventor, as an innovator, you probably drove past Gerke's Corners when you're driving in for the conference. Mm-hmm. There used to be a drive-in there years ago. And Les Paul, he ripped the speakers out of his parents' phonograph. And he did the copper and the wire, and he wired it as the guitar. And he used to go there, and he used to play, you know, with the cup out. And he would play for people while they were going to the drive-in and enjoying their hot dogs or burgers, whatever was big back then. Mm-hmm. And he was their entertainment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, love those little local stories.
Sure.
Let me turn things political, and not in a negative way, but again, to learn more about the community. A lot of people, when they think Waukesha, they think, oh, yeah, this is the hotbed of, you know, Wisconsin Republicans. There's more here than any place else. People who get deeply involved in Democratic politics learn something else very quickly. that, yeah, Milwaukee is number one, you know, in terms of number of Democrats. Dane County, of course, is number two.
Right.
And then you watch as younger people kind of blows their mind when they go,
sure,
Waukesha is number three because this is a heavily populated county. And this is where you'll find the third largest gathering of Democrats. In other words, this is not a homogenous town politically. It's truly a diverse community in terms of its politics. What's that like on a community day-to-day basis?
That's very true. Waukesha, the city, is the most diverse city in Waukesha County. And there's some resentment from the rest of Waukesha County about that, no lie. But there's also, they're grateful that we're here because we're a county seat. And a lot of federal funding comes to this county because of our diversity. And yes, it is mostly red, but you can have intelligent conversations with the Republicans here. Mm-hmm. They understand the value of a diverse community and the opportunities it can create. And so it's funny, you hear this whole thing about the stealing of the election, that myth that goes out there. And really, the margin of victory happened in Waukesha County, where President Trump's margin of victory was 5% lower than it was in 2016. There's your margin of difference.
Right. Yeah, so it really is. And look, you can make that case in all kinds of places, but you have to make that case in Waukesha as well. You have to be competitive here.
Mm-hmm.
So the relationship, again, mostly politically, if you will, between a place like Waukesha and, you know, the big bad city of Milwaukee, it seems to me, my perception is there are some people who do that expressly for political purposes. They're looking to make a name for themselves by kicking the big bad city. Seems to me there are still plenty of other places that understand, like in any metro area,
sure,
that big city is, that's your hub. That's the hub of your economic engine. You know, you, pardon the language, you crap on that too much, and you know, you're eating your own seed corn. Do enough people appreciate that here in the Waukesha area?
I would say, you know, as you may know, there was one of the big watersheds, pun intended, was the transformation of Lake Michigan water, Great Lakes water, into our water system.
Right.
We're the only non-coastal city in the Great Lakes region that has that. And thank heavens, because our water for years was very toxic. That required a lot of cooperation and partnerships with Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee. And there wasn't a ribbon cutting when all that became a reality when the pumping station was finished. And that included Mayor Johnson and I believe the county executive Crowley, along with our mayor, Sean Riley, and our county executive, Paul Farrell, and other local leaders. And so partnership is very important. And we do get that. Yes, we're not another suburb of Milwaukee. We have our own rich history in University City, but we benefit from having a very, I believe, a prosperous big city metro area with so many great things to offer. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask one question again related to Milwaukee in terms of the infrastructure of the place, because coming down here yesterday, and I'll get down here, you know, maybe three times a year or so for various things. And I'll recall my years living here when my wife was attending the medical school here, and I'll be stuck in a slowdown near the stadium or someplace else and say, oh, I don't miss this part of it. I don't miss being stuck on the interstate. And even after all this rebuilding, I mean, the zoo interchange, holy cow, it's so different now. But you still have the backups and everything else. And that's been a contentious issue for a couple of decades here. Do you think the transportation infrastructure will look radically different, say, 10 plus years from now, whether it's light rail or, you know, more bus lanes or something? Or do you think this is kind of the state of the life of the commuter in the Milwaukee County area?
Sure. You know, that's a good question that I don't think I'm expert enough to answer, because I lived in Chicagoland for 15 years. And so for me, that commute to Milwaukee is still a walk in the park.
See, it's all perspective, isn't it?
It's a parking lot in Chicagoland. Anywhere you go during rush hour, it's awful.
Well, and plus, but, I mean, the pandemic has changed. There's so many more people working from home and everything else. So it really is. It's too early to say.
That's had a huge impact, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you mentioned that. But this is such a great big city with a small city feel. I don't know if you ever heard. One of the nicknames about Milwaukee is Small Waukee. And it's people know each other here. And
yes, they do.
Our giving, our charitable giving with all the foundations and corporate charity is we rival all the big cities of America, the major cities, in terms of the amount of giving we get. And that's something we can also take pride in, and it benefits the rest of the state.
That's outstanding. This week in Waukesha, Don Brown is heard on the Shaw WAUK 7 to 9 on Saturdays.
7 to 9.
All right.
So we'll have to have you call in one of these mornings.
I'd love that. And you can listen through the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Don, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Pat, and best of luck at the conference.
And thanks for that amazing scone. Where's that from again, quick?
Steaming cup.
Oh, my goodness. might stop there on the way back.
They'd love to have you.
All right, Mark Jacob is on the way. But first, Pam Yonke has our farm market update and more news that affects Wisconsin's rural economy after this. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
What a win! The Green Bay Packers now face the San Francisco 49ers this Saturday night in California. Catch every play and score on the Packers Radio Network, locally in Racine on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, and 98.1 FM in Kenosha, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and in Richland Center on WRCO 100.9 FM. The Packers against the 49ers this Saturday night, pregame at 5, kickoff 7:15. What a team! The Packers and the Civic Media Radio Network.
Warmer weather on the way around Wisconsin next week. That means we'll be managing not only snow, but also water. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Friday. Right now, a lot of Wisconsin farms are monitoring the snow load on a lot of their buildings. Heifer sheds, machine sheds, even the barn itself can literally be carrying thousands of pounds of weight because of that snow. David Bonoff knows all about it. He's an emeritus professor at UW-Madison's Department of Biological Systems Engineering. He says, well, right now the temptation is to try to get some of that snow off. Be sure you're thinking safety first.
How do you get it off? Or should you try to take it off? Those are two different questions with different answers. But if the snow is under off, can you rake it off? Or should you rake it off? It's under, sure, try to rake it off. I wouldn't go up there on the roof, and especially don't go up there with snow blowers. There's people that actually have tried to do that sort of stuff. What they do to the rough steel in that particular case is just, I mean, it just gets destroyed to the point that they have to come in and re-rough the building once the snow is gone.
Wise advice from David Bonoff. He is an emeritus professor at the UW-Madison Department of Biological Systems Engineering. He said, think safety first. And Bonoff also says, you have to remember that that snow can move on its own very quickly once temperatures start to move up. And he said, that's also a safety concern for folks going in and out of buildings.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodensevet.com. Innovation, that's BioVet.
We're exploring farming in the last frontier. Alaska. Come and join us. Hi, everyone. I'm Pam Yonke. The date's August 22nd through September 1st. We'll visit a variety of Alaska farms, including a private boat excursion to experience a shrimping operation. Of course, you'll get all the majestic scenery and impressive wildlife along the way. Visit holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel video or call 888-557-1020 today. And University Extension officials are reminding farmers to be very careful about spreading manure on top of this snowpack. Kevin Erb, Conservation and Nutrient Management Specialist with University Extension Service, says you have to remember those nutrients you're spreading on top of that snowpack will suddenly be mobilized if we warm up next week and see melting occur. He said that can compromise your nutrient management plan and send those nutrients into waterways. That's a look at food news for a Friday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a
mostly
rest.
Mostly cloudy with a few off and on flurries through the day. We may see a little more sunshine by later this afternoon. It's going to be cold, too, with a high of 7 above the wind chill. Single digits to teens below zero most of the day. Tonight, clear 7 below. Tomorrow, sunny with a high of 10. We are going to warm it up. We're talking 30s for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. The temperature now is 0.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
Radio keeps your tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train.
Yes, the anniversary of the birth of Janis Joplin. On this 19th day of January, a Friday morning, coming up on 7:35, we're live from Waukesha, studios of the Shaw, WAUK. Really appreciate the warm welcome from Don and from everybody who's gathered here this morning for their shows or just to see who's this northerner who's come invaded our space. So let's resume with where we typically are. We go a little south of here to Chicagoland and bring in our friend Mark Jacob, as we often do on Fridays, to talk about things in the news. Mark and I normally get a chance at least to chat for a very brief time about what we want to review today, but with everything happening in Waukesha, I'm greeting Mark completely cold right now. Wait till you see what we make up on the fly here. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. I'll leave you with this. You might have heard Don mention it before. I was talking about the traffic heading into Milwaukee, having to deal with that yesterday and not really missing it. And Don brings up, well, I spent 15 years in Chicago. Traffic into Milwaukee is a walk in the park. So it really is a matter of perspective.
Right. Exactly. And also, the truth is, you know, I used to live in Arkansas, and, you know, there was almost no traffic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you come to Chicago, you build it into your life in a way, you know, and my relatives would come to visit us and they'd be appalled that we were paying for parking. I mean, the very idea of paying for parking, I can't believe it.
I had to pay so much yesterday in parking, and I'm thankful to live in a place where if I'm in a traffic jam, it's because of a hay wagon or a Buick. It's only that. There's a few different places we could start here, but I think we have to start with the big one. And it's not the Iowa caucuses per se and Donald Trump winning it, but it's the things that Donald Trump is saying and arguing in court this week is that a president, of course he means him, he doesn't mean any president, right, but he's saying a president should have unlimited immunity from criminal prosecution, because otherwise, you know, every president after this is going to be prosecuted. Look, Mark, I've said before, this nation a long time ago had a big old national debate about, are we a democracy or do we want to be a monarchy? And all he's doing is reopening that debate for a bunch of Trump fans to say, oh, yeah, he should have absolute immunity. That makes them monarchists.
Right. I mean, well, it is the definition of a dictator is somebody who's unaccountable for their actions. And, you know, and the weird thing about that is that he thinks people won't realize it, and I'm afraid he might be right in some quarters, but people need to understand that what he's talking about is being completely unaccountable for his actions and being able to do anything. And this idea that if you don't give us me immunity, well then all presidents will be prosecuted for their actions from here henceforth. You know, we've been around for like 250 years or about, and that hasn't happened. You know, nobody's done that. He's not worried about the precedent for presidents. He's worried about his own skin. And you know, I mean, he talks about this one day dictator stuff. Pat, the thing that blows my mind is that he's saying it out loud. He's saying it out loud. He's saying he wants to be a dictator. And the news media need to take it seriously. They need to stick it in news stories, in almost every news story, because there's no bigger story going on right now than the fact that one of the main people running for president wants to be a dictator.
Well, it's not just that. It's that he's also involved in a, you know, defamation case with E. Jean Carroll, where he's already been adjudicated as having sexually assaulted this woman. And yet it doesn't come up at all. I mean, his hijinks in the courtroom come up.
Right.
But my goodness, if any other person, especially a Democrat, I would contend, but any other politician, all you'd be hearing is alleged rapist. You'd be hearing all about the sexual assaults. That almost never comes up with this guy. The antics do, because again, you've got media that are rewarding showmanship over substance.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and there's also what I call outrage exhaustion, and the news media has outrage exhaustion. They don't. There's so many outrageous things that happen these days that it's just normal to them now, I sympathize. It's tough. Can you spend your entire life being outraged about things? It's very difficult, but these are our outrageous times, and you better pick some times to say, oh my gosh. You know, the thing that drives me crazy is that, what was it, about 13 or 14 months ago, Trump said in a Truth Social post, there's no doubt he said it, that he wanted termination of the Constitution. He used that term, termination. Yet it was on page 13 of the New York Times a day and a half later. I mean, it's we're becoming too used to this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one example from this week was Ron DeSantis saying that if you took the COVID booster, that you'd be more likely to get COVID, which is an outrageous lie that will kill people. People will die because they listened to Ron DeSantis say that lie.
So many people have already died because of Ron DeSantis. I mean, that's just absolutely true. Things that he said, the things that he's done, and it's amazing that he still gets away with it.
Yeah, but again, it was a news story, but it wasn't a big news story, you know. And he's, you know, doubling down on it. He's tweeting on it. So there's just no downside for lies, and the what I like to say is that the Republican superpower is lack of shame. I mean, you know, and because they're not ashamed of it, they lie and they keep on lying.
What was your takeaway from the Iowa caucuses, specifically the coverage of the Iowa caucuses? I've had several people take issue with my trying to essentially poo-poo the significance of it, because we're talking, you know, about 100,000 people, 14% of Iowa turnout, but it did receive, obviously, national coverage. And what was your take on how it was handled this week?
I think, you know, the media, you know, when I was in the news media, I loved when something unpredictable had happened, when something, you know, crazy had happened. I'd say, oh my gosh, this is gonna be great. Well, let's you know, run to the sound of the gunfire in effect. And so it just bothers me when you see the national news media loving this kind of set piece, predictable thing like the Iowa caucuses are. And you know, it's acting like it's, you know, for 1 week at least, the most important thing in the world. When you see the people who come out of the Iowa caucuses as winners, like, you know, Rick Santorum, remember his presidency? I don't. And, you know, so it's, I would be with you that I don't think it was all that significant, but it sure did get a lot of coverage. I guess I was most amused by, or kind of negatively amused by, the fact that on the night of the caucuses, you know, Trump comes out and gives this very conciliatory speech about how great his opponents are and how he just wants to bring the country together, Republicans and Democrats. You know, and you had members of the news media who said, oh, this is, Trump is acting presidential now, you know? Yes. And it's like, I mean, are you crazy? You know, on January 6th, he said he wanted people to move, march peacefully to the Capitol. And then when they trashed the place, he just sat there and enjoyed it on television for 3 hours. So, I mean, he always has this tendency to say one thing that people can latch onto to pretend that he's not the most horrible person in America, which he is.
They have learned nothing, as evidenced by a post that you made about, here it comes again, the New York Times headline writers.
Yeah.
The headline reads, "How Biden's immigration fight threatens his biggest foreign policy win." And as you rightly note, the headline is actually, "Republicans hold Ukraine aid hostage to exploit the border issue against Biden." Why are they so afraid to tell the truth about an issue and instead frame it as, here's how Biden's biggest foreign policy win could actually be bad for him?
Right. Well, this is the most exasperating thing, and this has been going on, you know, before Trump. The Republicans have been, you know, super good at framing issues, and the news media just, you know, jumping along on them. You know, there's no natural tie between Ukraine aid and border issues. Both are important, you know, no question. And I'm not like pretending that the border thing is good and settled and that Biden's doing a great job. I think it's an extreme challenge, and it's extremely challenging Biden. And obviously that there's negotiations in Congress to, you know, make things better. But, you know, you saw this thing the other day where Mike Johnson says he's taking his orders from Trump, in effect. He says he's talking to Trump on the border issue, and he doesn't really think that they're going to come up to any conclusion. So the Republicans don't want a border solution. They want a border issue that they can exploit. But the thing about the New York Times headline that bothered me most is that it took the Republicans completely out of it. The headline and the text they use underneath the headline is 33 words. I counted it, and not one of them is Republican. I mean, they've completely framed the issue as if Ukraine aid has something to do with the southern border of the United States, yet they're not even players in the New York Times coverage of it. It's just Biden's immigration fight. Biden doesn't want an immigration fight. Biden wants to come up with some solution to the immigration problems and come up with some compromise between Republicans and Democrats, which is possible. I mean, we really could do something to make it better. It's not like this is an easy issue. We have desperate people coming from south of the United States, coming up here for opportunities, desperate people who have been treated terribly by the governments in their country, and we should have sympathy for them, but it's a problem for us. I'm not, you know, pretending it's not, but let's come up with a solution. Let's not just politicize it.
Well, that, if I were going to put my biggest hang up with this week's coverage, it's that you now have Republicans, Mike Johnson included, who have said, they've said, we're not going to do anything because it's an election year. They might frame it as, well, Trump doesn't want us to, but that's what it is. That should be big news. That should be the headline. Republicans who claim the border is a problem refuse to do anything about the border because it's an election year. That, to me, is what the voters really need to know, what the audiences really need to know. And I'm still rather stunned that newsrooms can't find a way to, you know, frame it more properly.
Right. And so the New York Times takes that information and turns it into, you know, Biden's immigration fight, and that Biden invented this. This is the connecting up Ukraine with the southern border is a total political construct. It's leveraging one thing to get another. They don't have anything to do with each other, yet the New York Times just swallows it and goes with it.
Well, you talk about swallowing things. You know, Nikki Haley has been able to get away with things, including this week saying to Jake Tapper on CNN, America has never been a racist country. And again, for some reason, I wouldn't even call this a one-day story in terms of the blowback to Nikki Haley.
Yeah, the thing about that is no human being, no person who's ever studied American history could possibly say that America's never been a racist country. I mean, America allowed slavery, you know, for more than a half a decade. More than half a century. I mean, what are you talking about? You know, the whole history of it. I mean, if you look at any aspect of history, Pat, I would look it up. You know, are you familiar with the Tuskegee syphilis experiment where they took a black men who had syphilis. They didn't tell them they had syphilis. They diagnosed them. They tracked them over years, over decades. Didn't tell them, didn't treat them, just studied the effects on them. That lasted until 1972. If you're in your mid-50s, you were alive when that happened. And so this is not like something that, you know, we're not sure whether this happened or not. No, racism has been a big part of this country, and we need to fix it. It's not like we have to, if we admit it. The thing that Haley said last night was, well, if we admit that we used to be a racist country, or we've ever been a racist country, that will make black kids say that they can't, you know, achieve in this country. No, that's ridiculous. I mean, why don't we just tell kids the truth? I mean, isn't the truth good enough? And can't that make people make smart decisions? Isn't that what history is for? Is for us to understand what mistakes we made in the past and then fix them?
That's what it's supposed to be. It's what our newsrooms are supposed to be about as well. But to learn more about this, you can find Mark's information, newsletter, and more at stopthepresses.news. And you have a new installment of Media Misses with Stephen Beschloss about Fox News and their behavior with Trump's Iowa speech.
Yep.
And so look for that there. Again, that's at stopthepresses.news. And you can also find Mark and a whole lot of other great newsletters over at couriernewsroom.com. Mark, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for rolling with it here as we got settled in Waukesha, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you then.
All right. When we come back, Dan Schumacher is going to be along, and we're going to look ahead to sports. We've got the Packers playing the 49ers in, I guess I have to say, Santa Clara, Greg, because we can't, it's not, San Francisco wants to make it known that Santa Clara is extremely far away. And so, you know,
Noted.
Yeah, right. So we'll get into the game there. We'll tell you about some of the other college sports that are going to be taking place as we wrap things up from Waukesha on a Friday morning here on Up North News Radio. Back in a bit.
The Tap.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Every Grateful Dead song. Why? Because every time Dan and I are in a pub together, he plays every Grateful Dead song on the jukebox that's there.
As you do.
I don't recall hearing this one at all. So what do we got today?
Dan?
It is a very early version. We're talking the late 60s, Puff Wars, and that's what I think it is. Am I right?
Wait, the name of the song?
Yeah.
It's Golden Road.
Golden Road, yep. But it's off. They've renamed it. I know that. So, anyways, it's an old one. It's the late '60s, early '70s.
You can hear that late '60s, like, yeah. Hey, everybody, yeah. We're the Grateful Dead. Ah.
It's got kind of a monkeys, you know, thing in the background.
Yes,
Very it's poppy. Very album. Poppy.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
All right, how are things up at your Nashland? I assume
it is cold again. Mm-hmm. It is cold as I look out above the bay, but the bay is frozen now.
Yes.
And there's actually some pretty crazy people out there ice fishing, which is just nuts.
Oh no, it gets real full real fast, and they can go.
It's unbelievable. They were out there early this morning.
Not you though. Not you.
Nope.
You've got things to do. Hey, I should let you know we were talking to Don Brown earlier in the hour, and off air he's telling me about how his son is going to UW Eau Claire, where you were prior to Northland.
Yep.
And that the Sonatag Center that they're building out there and all the new sports venues. The work that you did there was a big reason, you know, why he was committing to go there. So I know you're looking to build up a program up there in Ashland, but your legacy is still very much active as another generation of Blue Golds comes into the pipeline here.
Well, that was always the hopes that we, you know, it was a long road to get there. The generosity was historic. But yeah, these are facilities that are game changers for the institution, not just as an athletic piece, but as a whole recruiting piece to the regular student that becomes attractive. You've got an event center that you could actually be there for a Toby Keith concert one day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, it adds so much to the campus atmosphere, similar to Madison, with those type of facilities. So it is a game changer. Good to hear that kind of feedback. And, they should be in pretty good shape moving forward as an institution and an athletic department.
And so what's the latest from your current role up there at Northland College?
Well, I'm entertaining bids right now with some major construction firms to add about a $5.5 million, $6 million addition onto the building. With starting wrestling, we need a wrestling room. We need locker rooms. And then the next piece is to, part of the project is football locker room and offices so we can reinstate football. So it's those are the main things. That's worth about 130 bodies. And we are we're all about enrollment as Eau Claire is. It is a difficult times in higher ed for the next 5 to 7 years because of the enrollment drops everywhere across the country due to the birth rate dropping from 08. So everybody's fighting for the students because there's less of them. And this is another way that Northland can stay alive and thrive with these type of facilities.
All right, let's go to sports at kind of a bigger level here. In fact, let's do the Packers last. I'll tell folks that the Bucs play at Detroit. They're actually got two on the road at Detroit, Saturday afternoon and Monday night. Check out Civic Media to find out what stations you can catch the game on there. The 11th-ranked Badger men's basketball team will host Indiana at the Kohl Center tonight at 7:30. The 17th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team is at St. John's on Saturday. The Badger women host Minnesota next week Tuesday. The Marquette women host number 9 UConn next week Tuesday. The Badger men's hockey team is off this weekend. The Badger women's hockey team, number 2 in the country, is in Mankato to play Minnesota State on Friday and Saturday. And Dan, I made a note to myself, but did not update it as far as Division III hockey goes. Last time I checked, which was a week or two ago, River Falls was number 1 for the women, and the Bulldogs were number 2, and Stevens Point was number 8 for the men, and Eau Claire was number 9. I assume they haven't changed too much in those positions since then.
Well, what they call pairwise, it's a computer program that we're probably in most of the NCAA is going to move to this type of rationale on how you pick to go to the playoffs. Hockey has been the demo for it. It's called pairwise. It's all kinds of mathematical figures on how they judge where you're at in a ranking and who makes the NCAA postseason. So I think both of them are poised at Eau Claire to move on into the playoffs. But, man, River Falls, they've got it going on. They've had it going on for many years. That coach has been there. So, you know, good things in hockey across the state. Yeah, I'm actually switch gears on you. I'm enjoying what Coach Gard is doing with the men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're lights out right now.
It's very true. I mean, it is surprising, but I have to get used to the volatility of basketball, especially not just the Badger men, but the Bucks, who, again, as they showed this week, they're always going to give up, 120, 130 points. And there's going to be nights where, like the other night, they could only score 95 or something like that. So
Right. You
have to ride the roller coaster all season with the Badgers or the Bucks.
So who you got this weekend, Pat? Who do you got?
Well, like I've said before, and some people are swearing they're going to punch somebody if they hear the phrase house money, but that's what it is. The Packers are playing with house money. Yep. Expectations are low. I mean, Dan, you could feel the joy. Even a Bears fan like you, you have enough Packer fan friends. You could feel their joy throughout that entire Dallas game. And I'd love to feel that again.
I still can't believe McCarthy kept his job after that one.
I can't either. I thought, I didn't think they were going to let him in the locker room at the end of the game. They're just going to say,
right,
hey, we retrieved your car keys for you. Bye-bye. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I like the matchup of to watch will be the Green Bay front 4, front 5 of the defense against McCaffrey, the running back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a huge challenge. Their running game versus the Packers' run defense. That, I think, is going to be the difference to force Brock Purdy to throw the ball. And I think if they could do that, they did that against Dallas. They just got to duplicate it.
The funny thing is when most people hear the name Colin Kaepernick, they think of the controversy surrounding him. I still think of some of those heartbreaking losses. He just always seemed to have the Packers number. Now, again, time has moved on. He's not there. Rodgers isn't there. But I'm still somewhat gun shy from some of those big game losses to the Niners over the years that the last thing I'm going to do is get overconfident.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Pat. You can't be overconfident, but you are playing with house money. That's the best house. That's the best money you can play with.
I know. So, and we're gonna.
I'm hoping for a Detroit Packer NFC game.
Oh, how fun!
So that would assure one of our teams going to the Super Bowl. That would be great from the NFC North.
That would be awfully fun. All right. Well, fingers crossed. Have a great weekend. Talk to you a little bit later on.
See ya,
Mr. Bach. Again, really quick at the Laughing Tap.
Jessica Michelle Singleton.
All right. Check that out as well. And thanks to everybody in Waukesha for their hospitality. It was great to get settled in here and be able to talk about the town. And, you know, we'll continue getting around the Civic Media Radio Network and introducing you to the stations and the communities along the way. So keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up North News Radio is back Monday morning at 6 a.m. Have a great weekend.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race now.
No path to victory.
There is no path for...
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ahead of-